Today our topic is the value of an empty vessel, and we do have a responsive reading. I think it'll be on the screen, but it's also on the insert as well. So let's stand, shall we, in honor of God's Word. I'll read what's in the light print, and I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. Father, we thank you today that you are still in the empowering business. And we thank you that all of those who truly seek you with a hungry heart, Lord, will be filled because you have promised it in your word. And as your servants, we recognize the necessity of being filled with your spirit at all times because we understand that the needs of this world are far too great for human solutions to suffice. And even as Christians, we are not capable in ourselves to offer that water of life as effectively as when we are energized and empowered by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, today we come and we offer ourselves to you as just vessels, but vessels, Lord, to be filled with your grace, to be filled with your power, your enabling to overflowing, so that indeed these waters of life may be spilled over to the world. Help us to never minister out of an empty bucket or out of an empty vessel, but out of the overflow of your Spirit operating in us. Teach us the importance of this. Teach us the necessity of this, and cause us basically to refuse to minister except when we have your divine anointing upon us. Now, Lord, we just pray that you will take your word today and use it in our hearts, Lord, for our edification and for your glory. And these things we ask humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. There are notes, and also, if you want to see the expanded notes, just go to www.snccc.org, and there you can see the expanded version of the sermon notes, or by tomorrow you can hear it on streaming audio. The Lord has just been impressing on me again the importance of being filled with His Holy Spirit as we go about in ministry. And I realize that many of you here today, you may not think of yourselves as ministers, but in reality, we are all ministers in the places where God has put us. You may be ministering to a parent. You may be ministering to your children. You may be ministering to people in your life, in your extended family, or in your place of work, or some other place that the Lord has placed you. And you are just as much in need of God's anointing and enablement for that ministry as I am each Sunday when I stand in this pulpit, or any other servant of God is in the place where God has put them in order to minister. All ministry flows from Him, and it is based squarely in His Word, and it is dispensed at His beckoning and by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go back and give another lesson today on the day of Pentecost, but note that Jesus did say to His disciples, who had already been in training 3.5 years, who had already seen His miracles, who had already heard His words, who had already graduated from the training course, do not leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. So there must have been something that was going to happen to them on the day of Pentecost that would further empower them and equip them in order to effectively minister the Word of God. And it is just as essential today to have that enabling and that empowerment as we minister. I don't care if we're in the nursery. I don't care if we're in the beginner department. I don't care if we're in the primary department or wherever we may be. We need that anointing and we need that enabling at the point of ministry. And I believe that everybody who has ministered, even in one-on-one encounters, there have been times when you just knew that the Lord was present in a special way. Am I right? And then there may have been times where you felt like, you know, I'm just bungling all over the place here. And so we need to pray to the Lord, and we need to say, Lord, as I go about and as I seek to be used of you, fill me with your Holy Spirit daily. Now, I believe there's an initial filling when we come to the Lord and we come to the knowledge of him, of course, and that never goes away. But I believe that there are many refillings, and that's what this message is about today. We read the account in Acts 2 of the initial filling. There were 120 present that day, and the Holy Spirit was poured out in his power, and there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and there were cloven tongues of fire that seated on each of them. And Peter did get up and proclaim the word of God in power, and that day 3,000 people came to the Lord. And from that point on, it says they witnessed with power, and miracles were done. A few weeks later, Peter and John were at the temple, and the cripple is there who has been there every day for probably a large part of his life. And Peter says, look at us. He says, I don't have any money, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he was healed, and he was jumping and leaping and praising God, and a crowd gathered, and a whole lot of other people came to the Lord that day. However, the ones who had crucified Jesus were not happy about it. They were not happy that the message was being preached, and so they took Peter and John and they put them in jail overnight, and then the next day they pulled them out and they questioned them about who gave them the power and the authority to do this. And once again, Peter very, very boldly told them that it was by the power and in the name of Jesus. And so Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called into account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." And then that's verse 12, I love. "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." That was delivered by Peter at that particular time in the power of the Holy Spirit. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And since the man that was there that had been healed, there was nothing they could say. So what do we do? They had a little conference in the back room, and they said, "Well, you know, if we raise too much of a ruckus, we may cause a riot. The people are going to get stirred up, so let's just threaten them and turn them loose." And they warned them never to preach in that name again. And Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. And in that culture, if you were 40, you were old, and therefore you had credibility. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. Now, here it is. They went back to their own people. Who are their own people? The believers. They went back to SNCCC, and they reported what God had done. And when the people heard what God had done, they raised their voices in prayer. And I'm not going to read this prayer, but it is a powerful prayer. And then it says in verse 31 of chapter 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So this has to be another filling in addition to the first filling in chapter 2. And I guarantee you, they were a lot of the same people. Now, I'm not getting into the fine points of theology and all of that. I'm just saying this is another visitation of God where that day God once again displayed his power in a mighty way. So I just want to open up today with a little statement, and that is, you can't run forever on an empty tank. You can't even run forever on a full tank. How many have been on a long trip recently? Your car may be one of those super new things with the big tank and the good gas mileage, and they boast about it on TV. Our car has a 450-mile cruising range. That's wonderful. But after you've run 449 miles, guess what? What do you have to do? You have to go to the filling station. Why do you have to go to the filling station? To get what? Refilled. I'm one of those people that tend to drink more than one glass of water at a time. And so I fill the glass, I empty the glass, and then I put it back under the spigot and turn it on again for another filling. When we go to a restaurant, such as Red Lobster, if we have a good waiter or waitress, they are constantly coming back to our table to do what? Refill our Pepsi glass or our Coca-Cola glass or our chocolate milk glass, if you're our little grandson Austin, or our whatever. And so refilling is a big, big part of the deal. And I just want to tell you, refilling is a big, big part of the Christian life. Yes, the Lord, but we work on a 24-hour cycle, and even Jesus would always go away and spend time with his Father. Why did he do that? Because he wasn't born with everything he needed for every day, and each day he needed to be empowered anew, and he did that by spending some time in the presence of the Heavenly Father. Can I hear an amen? And hey, we've got to spend time. We've got to spend some time with the Lord. We can't just keep giving and giving and giving. And the Lord doesn't do it that way. The Lord dispenses it on a day-to-day basis. Our eating schedule is that way, and our spiritual clock is the same way. And the most successful people in ministry not only have their preparation and their degrees and all of that, but they know the importance of spending some time with God every day, and that there is no substitute for it. So if you're one of those who follow the notes, I just have a few observations on these issues. Number one, we can only minister out of the fullness of what God has placed within us, His Holy Spirit. We can only minister out of the fullness of what God has placed within us, His Holy Spirit. And of course, you can put His Word. His Word and His Holy Spirit are a tag team, and they always work together. You can't have one without the other. But God puts stuff inside of us, and then from what He puts inside of us, then we are able to minister to somebody else. You can't sell groceries off of empty shelves. You can't sell cars when you got a lot sitting out there and it's empty and there aren't any cars on the lot. You've got to have some good. So we minister out of the fullness of what God has put in us. I don't have anything. I was born totally bankrupt. And even after I'm saved, I'm bankrupt within myself. I only have what God has put in me. God has put some Word in me. God has put His Spirit in me. God has put some things in me. That is where the ministry comes from. It doesn't come from me. And that's why Spirit-empowered ministry is far more effective. I mean, I don't knock psychologists and stuff like that and all that, but they don't... You know, they can analyze a whole lot of things, but they can't fix a whole lot of things. And those of us who have been in ministry, we've seen people delivered from drugs through prayer and through believing the Word. We've seen people delivered from a lifetime of alcoholism through faith and deliverance through prayer and without going through all that long, you know, however many step program it is and all of that. And I'm not knocking those things, but I'm just saying, when God's power begins to enter the equation, things begin to change. But we can only minister of what we have, not of what we don't have. And so we need to spend time with the Lord and get filled over and over again. We can only minister out of the fullness of what God has placed in us. We don't have anything of our own that we can offer anybody. Only what God has given us. Number two. Without the fullness of what God has placed within us, we are just empty vessels. Sometimes I go to Starbucks. And they give me that cup. And then I go over there and I have to doctor it my way. And then I take that half and half pitcher. And more than once I've said, by the way, this thing is empty. Could I have another one, please? And guess what? They don't hand me another empty one. They hand me a full one. So without the fullness of what God has placed in us, we're just an empty vessel. You turn it up, nothing comes out. That's all of us. Number three, in order to continue ministering effectively, we must be repeatedly refilled. And this happens by spending time with the Lord. Different people have different ways of doing it. C.T. Studd, who ministered in three different locations over a period of several decades, his method was that he spent 2 to 3 hours with the Lord every morning before his day started at 7 a.m. And that is how he managed to stay full. I remember C.T. Studd saying, the best way to prepare for a sermon is get on your knees until you are so on fire that you cannot hold it in anymore, and then get up and say what God gave you. But here's a man who also spent a couple hours in the Word every morning before he got up. David Wilkerson, during the days when Teen Challenge was just getting off the ground, he did his between midnight and 2 a.m. Anyway, he did it. And the rest is history. And he knew he needed that in order to minister effectively in the area where God had put him. Number four, yesterday's filling will do us little good today. Yesterday's filling will do us little good today. God may have worked in my life in a marvelous way yesterday, but that was yesterday. Today is today. There's a whole new set of needs today. There's a whole new set of challenges today. And I need to be filled again today. And the only one that can fill me is the Lord. As I go to Him in prayer, as I go to His Word, He will fill me. He will fill me, but I have to come. See, if you want that empty cup filled, you have to bring it. That's why at the end of this service, we're going to sing, Fill My Cup, Lord. But if you want the cup filled, you got to bring it. Number five, full vessels cannot be filled, only empty ones. So that's the good part of being empty. Sometimes we're filled with some other stuff. If you're at the restaurant and you wanted some milk and your glass was half full of kerosene, what would you be wanting to do? I think you would be wanting to pour out the kerosene and getting rid of that, and you'd want to start with an empty glass, wouldn't you? That's a real good place to start. And then, you know, they told me when I came into the car business, they said, yeah, we like the fact that you've never sold cars before, because they said these guys that come from other places, they already got in their mind how they want to do things. But if you come in this way, then we can teach you to do it the way we want it done. So see, they wanted an empty vessel that they could fill their way. And so God wants us empty. You know, we come to God, God, use me. But then we got all these other little plans, and we got all these other little wants and perceived needs and all these other little things in there and there and there. And the Lord's like, where am I going to put my stuff? You're already full of a bunch of other junk. And so there are times when we actually do have to get empty before God can fill us. So you say, Lord, fill me. You'd better be ready to be emptied of some stuff in the process, because there are things that are incompatible with the stuff He wants to give us. Anybody venture an amen on that one? It's an absolute fact. And so the best way to come to the Lord is empty. And Lord, I'm just here, Lord. I'm just here. You just give me what you want me to have. Full vessels can't be filled, only empty ones. Number six, an empty vessel is the one that realizes, Now, we're talking about living vessels here. We're empty vessels, but we're living vessels. An empty vessel is one that realizes that it can do nothing on its own and therefore relies on God's provision of grace and enabling for ministry. That's what an empty vessel is. One that realizes, I don't have anything. I've got to rely on the Lord for His provision of grace and enabling for ministry. And again, it doesn't matter whether it's the nursery, whether it's a beginner department, whether it's VBS, whether it's Awana, it doesn't matter. The principle still holds true. Number 7, it is hard to go very far on an empty tank. One must regularly visit the filling station. And we know that to be true. Have you ever heard somebody say, I think this car is running on fumes right now? Well, when you get down to that point, you know, and I'm glad that these newer cars actually have a warning light. Do you have a spiritual warning light that lets you know when it's about time? You know, I hope you do. And if you don't, I hope the Lord will install one on you. Because it's one thing to be empty, but let me tell you what's sadder than that. Being almost on empty and not even knowing it. Samson, the power had gone from him. And it says, and he wist it not. That's old English where he didn't even know it. That's sad. Number 8. A full vessel is usually the one that was just recently empty. Empty vessels are usually next in line to be filled. Now, how many here ever been to a Thanksgiving dinner? How many here ever been to a church dinner or picnic or covered dish? And maybe you didn't eat any breakfast that morning because you were saving room, because you knew there was going to be a... But when you sit down, to that table, and even if it's not Thanksgiving, you've been out working hard, mowing the lawn or doing whatever you're doing, and you sit down and you're so hungry you can hardly stand it. You can't wait for the food to be served. Your stomach is growling. Your stomach is empty. You are empty, empty, empty. And then they start bringing that food out, and you eat and you eat and you eat. And about 40 minutes later, the person that was all the way on empty is so full, they can hardly get up from the table. And when my little old car is all the way down and that needle's past that last line, next to the last line, and I pull into the station, it's only 3 or 4 minutes before I pull out, and now the needle's on full. So, an empty vessel, if we get to the right place, that's wonderful because that means I'm getting ready to be filled. And the full vessel is usually the one that was just recently empty. Nothing wrong with that. Number 9. The contents of a vessel are meant to be used and consumed. The contents of a vessel are meant to be used and consumed. Therefore, it is no dishonor that the most recently filled vessel now needs another filling. Actually, this is a good thing. What happens if you have a container and you've got something in it and you just let it set and set and set? It spoils. It gets stagnant. So we fill a vessel, but the reason we fill it is because we're going to use it. And that's why the Lord fills me. Why otherwise would he fill me or you or any of us? Because he's getting ready to pour it out. He's getting ready to pour it out. And then after a while, after it's been pouring out a while, then I come back. I say, Lord, by the way, all that you gave me is gone. Now I need some more. For years, I never kept my sermon notes. As soon as I did a sermon, I just threw them away. You know why? Because I want to depend on a new word from the Lord every single time I get in a pulpit. And I believe that's the way it is. Yesterday's won't cut it today. And I don't want to be depending on yesterday's stuff. God's done stuff in my life and He's built stuff in my life. And that's wonderful and that's fine and it's going to take care of itself. But what God did yesterday isn't necessarily what He's going to do today. And the way He led yesterday isn't necessarily the way He's going to lead today and so forth. But what God has put in me, He wants me to give it out. He wants me to give it out because guess what? The more I give, the more I get. The more I give, the more I get. And where I get it from is an inexhaustible supply. Praise God. The contents of a vessel are meant to be used and consumed. So God didn't put in you what He put in you just so you could say, hey, I've got this. Ain't this pretty? Let's put it on this little table over here and look at it, admire it, and talk about how pretty it is. It's for being used. Number 10. Final point. The difference between an empty and full vessel is a visit to the source. When I was a kid, we lived about a block from the nearest hand pump. And guess who got to carry the water? I did. And I always went down there with empty buckets, and I always came back with full buckets, which would then be emptied so that then I could go back to the same pump that had the inexhaustible source and fill those buckets yet again. And I could go back to that pump as many times as I needed to, and every time I came back went with some empty buckets, there would be more there in order to fill those buckets. And that's the way that it is with the Lord. And all we've got to do is just visit the source. When my glass runs out of water, I put it back under the spigot because there's an inexhaustible supply. When my little car gets low on gas, I go down to the filling station because there's an inexhaustible supply, which they get from a bigger supply at a great big tank down on the waterfront, which they get from a pipeline, which they get from a refinery, which they get from the inexhaustible supplies God put in the ground. Praise God. And so the difference between an empty vessel, it isn't, there ain't no problem with the vessel. The vessel just needs filling, that's all. And so you have big vessels and little vessels and all kinds of vessels. But hey, as long as you put them under the source, they can be filled. And so my prayer today would be this, that we would apply ourselves to the Word of God, that we would learn all that we can about the Word of God and all of that, that we would minister every time the Lord, you know, puts us in a position to do that, that we would always realize that we're ministering out of the fullness of what He's put in us and not any actual intelligence or knowledge or anything that we have of ourselves, and that we know going in that after we've ministered some, no matter how God works, no matter how greatly He moves, no matter how many miracles we witness or see, knowing ahead of time that tomorrow I'm going to need a new filling. And knowing that when I come to the Lord for that filling, it is always going to be there. I can't even tell you exactly where I heard it, but I heard, how many have heard of Spurgeon, the great pastor in England all those years? And of course, he's still one of the most quoted men. out there, but it says, according to the little story I heard, he was sitting one day just studying for a couple hours, and the window was open, and he saw this person go by several times, and they would always come by with some empty buckets, and then a little while later they'd go back with full buckets, and then they would go by with the empty buckets. And so this was going on while he was doing his other studying and preparing. And so at the end, he made a note. And he said, I have observed that those who deliver water to others must make more frequent trips to the well. And that's it. That's ministry in a nutshell.